of my presentation was chosen by Jack, probably because I didn't submit one or something,
right.
And it was chosen gracefully. It actually gave me the idea what I should do here this year, and it was report from the field and something else. And that's exactly what I want to do today. I wanted to tell you what I do, to somehow put myself on the map or something like that. But not because I would like to be on the map, but because I'm pretty much confused with what I do in the first person real. I actually am pretty much skeptical about what I do and about what is done in this realm, and confused. But now I must first say that I feel that it's not really a comfortable feeling being confused, but it's a feeling of wandering and being attentive and so on. So it's not a bad feeling either. But now, after Jack's presentation, I must say that I must first tell this. I feel really absolutely not seen, because my last year's presentation and Pate's was that what you just saw. Let's say 2/3 of that, and I wasn't even mentioned in this. So I while you were talking, I went. Oh, it's let's see. It's here. Just. I went to internet and got the extracted the Walter's report on our last year's session, and there is one paragraph about me and Matej, who was with me, and we actually are doing the same stuff, and he noticed that and put us into one paragraph instead of others who each had their own paragraph, which is great because we are very much complementing each other. Matej Chernigo is a colleague of mine, for those who didn't meet him last year.
I guess I can.
But I just wanted to note, to show how... Ooh. Seems...
Go full page.
Exactly. No, that's not what I wanted to do, actually. Is that any better?
Yeah, yes. All the way.
I'm not going to try more. So it just so we traveled from Slovenia. That's the fact. Gate separate railroads. Also, a new science. That's how we tried to call this. Although we are really skeptical whether that can be science or not. So Matej, I cut out something. So Matej said it's essentially a matter of being true to the fact. Science is essentially the matter of being true to the fact. If the study changes, the object of study, then you have to be true to that. Urban said it is not only the object of research that will be changed, or might be changed, I would say, but also the researcher. It is not possible to do it unless you are engaged and prepared to change. They also challenged the assumption that the results of first-person research ought to be aimed at adding to the general body of knowledge. The inquiry should be done for the first person, so for researchers should infer for himself or herself. And the happy and the, and he, I don't know who, me or Matej, he happily conceded that this calls for a radically different view of science. So this is just one paragraph. That's how Walter saw what we said, and I agree. But actually what we were trying to present is exactly similar arguments and almost the same stuff as Jack did, and so I felt, what's the point? we were not there, and I'm sure none of those that were there last year remember that. So it just tells me a lot about, I don't know, my voice or something. And you remember. I'm glad. I'm really glad. Although, I must say, it's not a bad thing. At one point, I'm really glad that I'm so invisible in this community, because I really, all those questions that were posed today, I don't have answers to them. So
I would have remembered.
Thank you. I know, Christian.
it's a very common story.
Well,
I remember and I wasn't there.
So I just want you to know that my position, it's very like, in one side I'm like, I feel let out, but on the other side I'm glad that so, for now. Perhaps if I get more, let's get back to the fact that, so if I get more confident, I would like to be more appreciate my work, but so far it's really cool that I am somewhere in shadows, because it's very messy business, this first person research. So what I want to do here, my idea of it, and you can stop me at any point, I can jump, I can just summarize in one sentence or whatever. So what I wanted to do was to just to one present what I'm up to, and there will be three parts. First part is me trying to build a map of first person approaches, but I'm calling them phenomenological approaches or phenomenology inspired approaches, because you'll see the reason a little bit later. Second part was just trying not to ignore or trying to see all the problems there are with all these approaches. And then the third part would show a little bit of how I deal with them. And second and third part is actually what Jagdeep, of course, we don't call this creative inquiry, but there are many similarities, really striking similarities. And that just on at the end, I would like to, at the end of showing you what I do, I would like you to see one of my projects that I'm trying to, it just starts, that was actually conceived together with Jack and Matej, that was just mentioned before. But somehow, I might tell this, there were strange circumstances, and I somehow did a little spin off right now of that project, and I would like to, it's starting, it's internet stuff, and I would like you to see it. And of course, comment on it. In any way, any comments would be appreciated. Last year, there were like some comments by Nick Humphrey, and he said, well, guys, I feel so much protective of you, and I feel you will just be, you know, lost and, and I mean, ignored, and this is too naive of a project, and I guess he was right. So this is the schedule I just mentioned.
Yes, change.
So it's nice, huh? If nothing else, it's worth it's really sexy. I have to watch it on this big screen. It's so great. So this is the schedule I just mentioned. Bracketing intersubjectivity is that part that is actually what I really one thing I have to mention. I am not going to go into epistemological or methodological debate as Jack tried. I tried that last year, and I tried it in a couple of my papers and lectures, but I think here there is one thing I can do. You know that the science should be intersubjective, that it should be repeatable, and the holy grail of science is being able to predict. If you can do that you are the real, real, real scientist. So there is one thing I think I can predict. I can predict that all these answers, all these debates, let's say theoretical debates on experiential science, won't be answered for a long time. I think this prediction can be tested in, let's say, 20, 30 years, and I think it might prove me right. So that's why I would like you to see this just as my personal inquiry, my personal dealing with the subject that's very, very interesting to me, and somehow I feel I should do it, but on the other side I feel so these questions, this like all this stuff is I want to present this second part. For those that don't know, my basic education is theoretical physics. So I just mentioned that so you understand that I do have a big craving for intersubjective, real, hard fact science. That please bear this in mind when I go through this. So let me start with the first part. Last year, Ratna Link and some other events I attended in, let's say, last year and a half concerning first-person research or phenomenological research were a real eye-opener for me. In that account, that I saw how many different views are. I knew there are different approaches. I was a little bit aware of different neurophenomenological tries because I am a huge fan of Varela and Vermeersch and this. But then I met Ross and all these extraordinary attempts to study experience, lived experience. And my other part of my scientific endeavors is I'm trying to do interdisciplinary project in cognitive science. We have in Vienna based international study of postgraduate study of cognitive science, and my role there is to take care of this. We call it the backbone of the study, which is the interdisciplinary kernel, where students have to join the forces, students from different fields. And I also have participated in quite a big project doing similar stuff. So. I have some experience in trying to bring different views together, and I do have some experience, but I also have a big desire to do that. Perhaps that's because I'm not really particularly good in any particular field. I don't know, but that's somehow. So that probably that was behind my desire to build a sort of map of what there is. It was also a push because there was in Zagreb that this book was published, a methodological book, and they asked me to do the phenomenological part. So I had some excuse to do it. And the other stuff is I'm physicist by my basic, I don't know, perceiving of the world. So it's nice to me to draw, like, let's say, maps or somehow geographically locate data and so on. So I also I'm lecturing at the Faculty of Education, and phenomenological research in education is quite strong. I don't know if you're probably not so much aware of this, but really big stuff. So I've tried to include all kinds, not just consciousness research, but all kinds of approaches. I would like to show you just a little bit of this right now. So the map, I see it as a three-dimensional space. I can't draw in this Mac here, so I didn't draw it. So there are three axes. Jack, can you help me? Axes in plural is axes. Okay. First is, let's call it view from axis. This is the research perspective. It's about the position between the one who is researching or inquiring and the subject. So it can be from outside. I can ask people and then say people experience that and that. I would call it third person perspective. And please don't. I know it's a tricky notion because we call ourselves first person researcher, and I would not like to question that or in any how. So if you have better naming for this, I'm happy to take it. But that's why I call all this area of research, I call it phenomenologically inspired research. And then within that, I have first, second, and third person perspective or view from. And just try to understand now, and let's not argue if that is a good naming or not, but I would be happy to. It's work in progress, this map. So it's nothing that's carved in stone. So the second axis is that's a tricky how to name it. Research, reach of gained knowledge. That reach word comes from a qualitative research paradigm by Glaser and Strauss. They said there is certain, they were talking about grounded theories, you know, it's a long postmodern debate whether ground theories are also scientific and so on. So grounded theories have small or a short reach of a theory, a theoretical finding. It can be valid only for us in this group for a certain amount of time or something like that. But it, of course, this is very much connected to the hopes of interdisciplinarity, of reaching intersubjectivity, intersubjective, let's say, confirmation or agreement. So I didn't want to go too much into with this intersubjective stuff, but of course this is connected with that. The question is the second axis categorizes how big a hopes the researcher have that his findings, his gained knowledge, whatever, will be intersubjective, will apply to many people in many, what was the other word, Michel, you said intersubjective and inter...
Positionality or situationality.
Intersituational, exactly, that's great, I never heard that.
Yes,
so,
not only between subjects, but also
but during
between
the
places, between the
and different, probably in experience, but also during the time. So that's the second axis. And the third is focus of research. I don't think I have to explain that one. It's, for example, Claire clearly said, and Ross even more probably, they are very much interested in how, in, let's say, structure, not in what goes on, but how it looks like in a structure way. And then there are some phenomenologically inspired research that do the opposite. So that's the third axis. And there are many variations in this third. This third axis is sort of allows me to put everything in that cannot be described elsewhere. So, now...
I think we're in some third axis. Can you just say it again?
For example, you know what? I will just go with examples, and I think it will be quite clear.
Yeah.
So I will just... I just picked up a couple of examples. There are more. Of course, I for that paper, I collected more, but most of them are are of interest for our part of research, but I also mentioned one or two that are more from, let's say, educational studies or psychotherapeutical research and so on, but they are very widely used, so just for your information if you are not familiar with that. So I will start with good old Husserl. This is, of course, the primary source of, and then, like, the oldest and let's say source of all these phenomenological attempts. And Husserlian investigation. That's the name some people in other parts give to this. So it's more broad than just what Husserl tries to do. But it is first person. So let's start with the first axis. So it's the first person view. Scientist, researcher sits in his armchair, or her, for that matter, and tries to, in a phenomenological reduction way, to see, to describe his inner world. Or her. Now, what's very specific for this, in Husserl and others who do this approach, are hoping for high intersubjectivity. That was a big thing with him. He gave a lot of attention to that, and I think all others that go into this part as well. He saw his results as something that is valid for everybody. He tries to extract the common quality or common substance of experience. So this is a very important part. And then focus of research, yes, now I guess it might become become clear. So structure, I call it structure. Some people are talking about stable patterns. So not that flipping stuff that is, let's say, personal, but some stable patterns of experience. So that I would call this is the focus of Husserlian research. And let me just say, I put into this category many more, some stuff done by Gallagher, for example, and it's quite some stuff done by neurophenomenology. I would put it at that at this point. Also the Dr. Merge, that woman, the Pras, I think would go into this. So this is one. Let's go on. Let's just quickly pass through those. So I don't know how to call this one. I call it experiencing special situation, but it's probably absolutely misleading. There is no name, and I invented this category. I will just tell you what kind of research I'm putting into it. For example, I have a PhD student who works with blind, and she blinded herself with some cool device, so she read there are zero photons getting into her visual system, and she first attempt she tried it for 8 days, now she will do it for a longer time, and so on. So she tries to experience how it's like to be blind, of course with a big let's say bracket around it, or with a notion that she can't actually experience that, but she tries to get as close to this as possible. So this is still view from first person. It's on her skin. But she's putting herself in some special, that's why I said special situation, because I would say another, I'm trying to make her do this as rigorously as possible, and she's observing two different areas, how the space is perceived and how communication with others is perceived. But for example, a word in 70s, this guy that tried drugs on themselves, like Lily and I don't know who else. I think they went into similar realm, just without any real methodology. So this sort of stuff is here. So focus of research here is different, but it's rarely just focused on structure. Normally people try to include all there is, all that they can grab, all the data they can get out of this experience. Now this is a huge, probably the biggest area of research in phenomenological inspired realm. Meshed, I don't know if I pronounce this correctly, caused this, and I think he's also quoting somebody else, but doesn't really matter, how it's like for them. This is the stuff that is applied in educational research, in very much into psychotherapy research, in, let's say, nursing, in some parts of the of business, whatever, research, and so on. So, and this is basically asking a method, a representative sample of people, how it's like for them to, I don't know what, let's say the research that comes on my mind, the experience of nurses experience the death of their patients. I guess, or how children experience temporal dimension of normally there is of classes or something. So it's not so, normally these are more practically based, not just temporal dimension that would interest us, but this sort of stuff. So focus here, actually the sole definition of this area is to investigate phenomena through the meaning actors make of them. So there is a meaning that we study here, and there is all these stories or whatever are important in this area. Just information. So there is a descriptive experience sampling. This is very little known method. I'm just going to skip it. I'm joking. It's That's my view of it, and if you are willing to change it, I would gladly change this position on this map. So I see it as a third person method, because the focus of research is how they or he or she experiences. So that's why I would call it third person, but second person, but I will come to the second person later, the second person to me is where the dialogue is engaged. I don't mean questioning, but dialogue, or where it's actually the question, who is the researcher? And if you say that people are, you said, moderately proficient in that, so they gain some knowledge, so they are actually researching a little bit, so that would be for me second person. So hopes for intersubjectivity, I think, you're quite humble in this area, although I know that hopes are high, but I read a couple of your papers, and I think you're pretty humble in this. You're not trying to say that's it, that's how it is, and that. So the focus, it's definitely not what you experience, what you make out of it. It's very strictly, very, very roughly how it was, and the research tries to extract some, I would say, patterns, some distinct patterns of experience. And then there is this, I'm going to get into history, I would call it Paris School. I couldn't say Claire's method, but let me call it Paris School. It is very much connected to neurophenomenology. I had hard problem placing neurophenomenological methods, because they rank in all possible, so I didn't include it. That's not part of neurophenology, because just before you said that it is that's one of the neurophenological methods.
No, I
will delete that. Yeah, that was my experience as well, you know, but I had the idea that I should put this together. So
it can be used by neurophenomenology, but in 99%.
It's not. Yes. Okay. Forget about neurophenomenology. This is, let's say, Paris method. Paris School. So the view again, it goes much more towards second person, because the both of them are actually working on it. I don't have to explain about this. And Claire, if you don't agree, I can change this. I know you say it's second person, but if you try to put to take this sort of, it's still you are the researcher, and you want to know how he or she feels. That's the basis. If that is not, then it's second person.
The first person learns a lot. With the help of the second person, we learn a lot also on her own experience.
Yeah, okay.
Both learn on their own experience.
Okay, so then I would call it second person. I just, let's not go there. I'm totally cool with all the changes that you made. So, I think that's also why I would put it more towards the third person. I know, you're saying that hopes for intersubjectivity are high. You are trying to get intersubjective validation of your methods. So there must be something third person included, I guess, if you want to do that.
By intersubjective, though?
In this case, I would say there are different... one would expect that you can validate in some way, so different people can validate the same research findings. I have no idea how to do it. I would like to see one of such validations, but that's the expectation. So again, focus is the same as Ross, I guess, in structure.
You said that you don't see how.
How to do this? If you say some other person will research the same subject. Of course, the subject is different when you deal with him or her than before. So that's not repeatable. If you say we will try to research different subjects, then again, I don't believe you'll get the same results.
It depends on what it is you're trying to validate again. Is it the data or the methodology?
I'll get to this. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I think Claire would agree you try to validate the data, findings. I'll get to methodological part.
You can find generic structures from the structure.
Yeah, so that would be intersubjective findings. So, okay. I would not like to linger too much on this because, of course, it's let's debate. If I'm going to publish this, I will, of course, both of you have to give it a go. Now phenomenological case study. That's one of my projects and again my invention. Although I found lots of research that should go under this name. I mentioned before. So that's the first stuff I practically do. I have this project with interdisciplinary group of scientists trying to get a little bit more into decision making. And there is a neurologist, one or two philosophers, psychologists, AI person, and me, let's say methodologist and in the role of methodologist and in the role of first person researcher. And for now, we just do it with neurologists. And what we do is doing the case study of one person. And we chose for now a person with Tourette syndrome. Of course, you are all familiar with that, because we found out that it can tell us a lot about decision-making process, because their tics are often on the verge between being accessible to conscious manipulation and out of it. So I'm trying. So there is a lot of clinical neuro study done, and on the other side, I'm trying to get as much as possible out in a phenomenological area. But there are other similar fields of research. But here, I am not in any. I'm not doing it, and this is the only methodological stance I have. I am not bound of how I should do this. So I'm letting the patient, the subject, lead me. I try to collect all there is possible. Of course, I'm very much interested in this is a plan B, in the experience of deciding or having, without decision, this movement and voices, the tics. That's my focus, of course. But I am gathering all possible data. I'm recording the sessions. There is also some stuff that girl is drawing and diaries, all kind of stuff that can help me. And that's the let's say the characteristic of case study. So it's not some fixed methodology gathering all possible data. Of course, why I'm doing it, because I was not comfortable with any of methods that I know. That's why I said, okay, I'm just going to talk to her. I'm just going to let her tell me what is important. So that's why. And it's extraordinarily interesting, but we didn't publish anything. We just started, actually, a couple of months, this project. So that's phenomenological case study. So the case study is a study where you follow a subject for a longer period, and you gather all possible, that's the case study in general, you gather all possible material during this time span. And I'm just, let's say, here, limiting myself to phenomenological data. So,
can I ask something about this case study? So you think you could use Claire's method to go to the moment before they utter one of those words, and then perhaps they can become aware of some sort of subtle sensation before they blurt out the word?
Absolutely. I think Claire and Russ method would be great here. And I was thinking of that, but I'm not going to go into details. We did consider that we have a consortium of people, and I I mentioned those methods and some other possibilities how to research. A psychologist said, "Oh, we just have to make a questionnaire." Then at the end, we actually together decided that we will, for this time, we will just let it, be guided by her, not by some method. But of course, I think a lot could be gained by that. But it's, let's say, a pilot study. It still can be done. So, of course, it's very good question. So now I had more of this, but because the time is short, I'm gonna I actually removed them before already. More of examples of neurological. Now that is the second part. I wanted to just tell you about my problems with first person research, but I think I'm just gonna go through it without actually going into it, because we mentioned all that stuff for like 10 times in the past couple of days. So I don't think they are starting with Max, which I'm still sorry I didn't hear the lecture, and going to Jack all the way. I think almost each of you mentioned those problems. So I just wanted to present them as my personal problems, my existentially valid and true questions, not as scientific whatever problems. I don't want to pretend that anymore. So I will just describe what I mean with the slides. Let's not go into it. Hermeneutic problem. That's what I mentioned yesterday. I think that's probably the only one that hasn't been mentioned here. I mentioned it yesterday, and I didn't feel any response. So I think it's obviously just my problem. Exactly. Yes. That's why I named it hermeneutic later. You know, that was after our conversation. Hermeneutic paradox. You all know. You know, you cannot, for example, read the book without reading the single letters. But of course, you have to know the context. But to really know the context, you have to read the letters. That's very banal. But the same stuff is with this. I can't imagine, as I said yesterday, to really know how it's like to be somebody without knowing everything. This is an awful word, but still, holistic perspective. Just little points. I don't believe, but I don't mean in time. I don't mean random points in time. This was happening and this was happening. It can give me some feeling, but I feel something is missing. Let's not go there. That's a big one. Is this discovery or invention? Of course, I'm following from Foerster here. What is describing the past experience? And we went through this for some time. I'm not going to go there. It's very, very interesting epistemological question. I really think, what is the experience? You know, were you really, experiencing that, or was that just, I don't know, something else? What is, if you really experience something, very interesting. I have no idea how to deal with that. That was my major point last year, and I wanted to. Jack done all of it, so I'm not gonna go through it. Trying to be intersubjective, and we all know there. I mean, we all have this sense. Without it, there is no science.
This is another problem.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I just actually inserted this slide, so the problem part problem. Heading fell away. I think this is just a continuation of the. You are not so much in probably. I don't know how many of you are in social science field, but since postmodern, this question is like lingering around. Then there was ethnomethodology and all these qualitative approaches that sort of just put aside under the rug this big problem of intersubjectivity. They said, "Well, we can know much more about, or this is a help to quantitative methods and so on." I'm lecturing qualitative methods, and I know all the excuses why they're cool. So, but now in the consciousness that we are actually in the corner, there is no more to go. We have to at some point answer this question. I would mention from first as a notion of non-trivial systems, which are actually not predictable, and they are observer is part of the system, so it's like all this sort of stuff that I read Walter, that obviously I was quoting him last year as well. There is another second order cybernetician who said if it's repeatable, it's not alive. So I just nice point, I think, I guess. Sounds good, but well, how to deal with this? So there are so many angles from which I could approach this, and those are all angles that bother me. These are not. I try to skip actual angles that that theory of consciousness is, as it is now, is adopting. So I just say if there is a private experience, and then we say there is no private language and there is no private science. So how to build those, merge those two? I would say, I could say, I mean, that seems a little bit naive, I know, but there is some meaning under this. I would say science, as I see it, is nothing else, as it is now, is nothing else but a filter that actually filters everything that is, I would say, all experience, as the last slide I saw in your lecture, all experience that is intersubjective. So everything that's left, so we can't explore that, or what should we do? And the same goes for language. Language is the basis of our communication, and communication is community building. So it is a non-private stuff that's meant for sharing stuff. But how about the stuff that we are not sharing? Obviously, language and science are not, as they are now, are not too good methods for it. I'm not going to go in there. I could. So, and just what can we know about experiences besides that we already know? That's a big point I would like to want to make. Because I guess if I'm just talking to somebody, all I can learn is actually just different structures of what I know. Can I get, what if somebody else experiences things differently in more qualitative way? I'm not going to go into qualia here, but just very much differently. I think the only way is that I really first bracket all my ideas.
Do you mean like if you're blind and they're sighted?
That's the extreme example, exactly. And this is a great example, actually. And I at least should blind myself. It's better than just questioning him, I guess. Let me go on.
I was thinking of you being blind and your subject being sighted, and the subject tell you about what it's
like. But then of course, there is no way. There is no way. But the other way around, there might be some way to get closer. And then the last point, probably. And this is a big point, and I would really like you to all to answer to this. I did a little book on consciousness studies in Ljubljana, and I actually did a survey of all labs that do anything that has anything to do with consciousness studies. And at the end, I just popped that little questionnaire asking them, how do you think the results of consciousness studies should look like, or theories of gained knowledge? And could be more different. Could be more. Nobody agrees in that. It's really interesting. But I'm really asking myself, would, let's say, theoretical knowledge satisfy, let's say that we have a complete theory of consciousness, and hard problem solved, and all this stuff done, would that, and it is a propositional theory, would that knowledge satisfy my longing for truth in this area? I'm absolutely sure it wouldn't. That would not, I wouldn't say I know about consciousness. I know more, of course, but that's it. That's the end of my search, research of my consciousness, my experience. So this is the biggest question, I would say. Okay. Oops. What was that? It's more smart than I am. So, von Förster once said, the more profound the problem that is ignored, the greater are the chances for fame and success. And then I think that's what we are ignoring here, all these questions. And probably it's okay, because when physics ignored all similar questions, it became a really successful science. So, I don't know. The same author, also said there are many strategies how to deal with this, and one is ignoring the problem, the other is trivializing it, what we try to do in better or worse way, And then he said, make epistemology of non-trivialness or something like that, but I didn't want to go in there. I just said embracing it. And that's what... Yeah.
I'm not sure if I heard you correctly, but it sounded like I heard you say that what we are doing here is trivializing...
Yes.
What are we trivializing?
We are trivializing the fullness of experience. We have to. It has to be trivialized. And at least if you want to speak about it, you have to trivialize it. At least a little bit. Or not.
Well, we're all...
I agree.
Flowers bloom in this state.
I agree.
It's a very sweeping statement.
Maybe there is another option consisting in experiencing the problem, exploring them very carefully, but through the experience. For example, the link between experience and words. Really, through any method, Russ method, my method, or Jack's method, or your method.
Absolutely, but
this link concretely and try to understand how it works. Not sure.
Yeah, but what would that mean, understand how it works? What would you call as under? When would you say I understand that word?
Coming into contact with the emergence of the word from experience, for example, really coming in, not observing, but coming into contact with this experience consisting in describing one's experience.
Yes, but there are two ways of how to come into contact. One is that I just realize that with myself, and the other is that I make a theory how that works.
No.
And they are totally different, and theory must trivialize this, or not?
Yes, sure, but I'm in favor of the first solution.
Yeah, I'm not in favor if any, but I think the second solution has flaws.
Flaws?
Problems.
Flaws.
Difficulties. So, you know what, it's really late, and there is so much, I would so much like to go on with this, but let me just finish this, because there's so much more I would like to show, you know, and of course, so I really like this Zen picture. I forgot the author, perhaps some of you know. He said the monkey is reaching for the moon in the water. Until death overtakes him, he will never give up. If he would only let go the branch and disappear into the deep pool, the whole world would shine with dazzling clearness. Now, like I told anything, I just told, if we would just let go of intersubjectivity, that, of course, the world would shine in the dazzling clearness if we would go somewhere else. But where to go, how to go, and can we go together? That's actually the question. There are two, let's say, techniques that I do. And one I call phenomenological dialogue, which again is probably misused and whatever, but I'm not going to go deeply into this. So if I put it into this map, just that would be the second person. I will tell later why. But there is zero hopes for intersubjectivity, which doesn't mean it cannot occur. Just a validation of success of our conversation is not measured according to whether we agree or not. But if, of course, I was many times misunderstood. I said, oh, there can't be inter. Of course, there can be, but the measure of success of the method is not whether it's intersubjectively verified or not.
Sounds to me like you're actually saying hopes for inter-objective agreement is zero.
I don't really, it sounds good to me, but I don't really grasp the inter-objective.
So basically, how would you and I know whether or not we're sharing meaning? So I can write out what I mean, it becomes objective. You write out what you mean, it becomes objective. Or we speak it, it becomes objective. So we're both sharing objective manifestations of a subjective or perhaps an even intersubjective experience.
Not really. Close, but not really. Yeah, okay. So just let me go back and I will. So focus, and I'm quoting Jack, his paper in the Journal of Conscious Studies, Inhabiting Lived Experience, something like that. He's not quoted here, but I'm quoting him in my papers. He would say, becoming conscious differently. I really like this phrase. That's the main focus. Side effects may include a theory of my knowledge, theory of my consciousness, and this sort of stuff. But that's not the focus of this approach. And what's the twist? This again a dialogue, but the twist is in that researcher is the one who answers. Me as the guy who is asking the question, I am just a tool, a methodological tool in this research. Of course, we are both doing research, and that's why it's profoundly second person. What is the aim of both of us is to bracket.
So you said the interviewee is the researcher.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We are both doing our best to do terminological reduction. We try to bracket all presupposition and even more all expectations, all our days. And this is a really hard job, and this is something that cannot be propositionally. I mean, you can go into methods, we tried how to do it, what's the best way of doing it, but it's something that cannot be propositionally or algorithmically prescribed. It's a skill. It's not a propositional knowledge, it's some other knowledge. I'm not going to go whether it's, I don't know, dispositional or whatever, but it's some other kind of knowledge. So that's the focus of both of us. We both do it. Just there is one who is researching his or her experience, and the other is just helping him open the space for that. So I'm training my students in that, and what the only stuff I can train is curiosity. Actually, what I do is, and myself as well, I try to, actually, as stupid as it sounds, train myself in being curious. I did it yesterday with Stephen, and I that's why I failed you probably because I. But it's such a joy for me when I find this stuff in what one is explaining that I can really be curious about. And I really like it, and you know, so that's what we do. And of course, curious without saying, I know, that was my, I experienced that last year. If you go there, it's wrong. So it's curious but empty. These two things. I could tell a lot more about that, but I won't.
I thought it was indiscriminate. And you said that you can say a lot.
I can say a lot about my experience of that, but not describe the procedure how to get there. I can't. I definitely can't. The problem of this approach, among many others, it's obviously, I totally agree with Ron, what he said. It's probably not science, it's something else, very important, but probably not scientific. It could be called ethical point, but definitely existential. There is lived experience and there is lived experience. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some of them are existentially true. You cannot do this research as physicists or, let's say, chemists or whatever do. Let's say, let's change this parameter and we'll see what will happen. Let's see. You can't do that. That's one thing. And the other, you also can't pick. I mean, we've done that a lot with students. You can't. I told them just pick some example and then you will report. There are two totally different qualities of reports when somebody doesn't find this moment interesting, or when it does, when he or she does. But of course there is a huge danger, because when the moment is interesting, you are much more bound to your story, to your ideas, to your whatever. So it's much more interesting, but you also have to bracket yourself much more strongly. But that's not exactly what I meant with this. There is this notion of alignment that I am now coining with a colleague of mine from Vienna. I will just shortly. Last year, I actually here in Latin Link, I got the idea of this, but then we coined that word alignment, and now perhaps next year I'm going to tell more about it. It's just that, let's say our thoughts or descriptions are very much free volatile stuff. It can go, we can theorize, we can think of that from that angle, the other angle. But there is only one point where they align with the whole being.
So
you know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about alignment of one person's thoughts with their whole being?
For now, okay. Yes. Right. For now I'm talking about that. So do you know what I'm talking about? I can very honestly explain as I did when Ross beat me, my experience. But it didn't feel right. It didn't feel true. There was something missing, you know. But sometimes I can't tell you what it is, but I can totally feel that is expression of my own experience. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. The sort of, when Claire was asking us to look at, you know, things that where we were really exercising the skill, I think that would be more likely.
That's more like it. That's going there.
Produce an aligned result than just an arbitrary moment, which is to, you know, because deliberately supposed to be arbitrary. Because if you were to make it to control, then you would get, Russ would say, you know, bum results. Bad results.
Yes. Yes. Well,
because you have all your presuppositions tumbling, you know, coming in.
Yes. Yes. No, I think this is quite a big point, this alignment, and I'm still not quite solid here. So it just goes two ways. When I describe this, and the vice versa, it's good that I somehow follow my whole being, but let me not go there because I will just spoil it. Perhaps I have some nice examples, but I can smell lunch at that other room and so on. So if anybody is interested, I will tell him personally. But I will just skip that now. Just please don't take this serious what I just said. Trust me, that it's quite an interesting point to make. Besides my inability to express this. So, as a totally extreme kind of inquiry, where are you going? is self-inquiry. As Matej actually coined something similar in Slovenian. I don't know if he would agree with that word, but...
this is the second method.
That's the second method. That's the method analog to what Husserl did, but with zero hopes for intersubjectivity. Let's keep that. That's one way how to research consciousness. And the method is the same as before. Just trying to see. I wouldn't agree with Jack when he said we are not interested in truth. When I do this, I'm absolutely interested in truth. What drives me is what's really there. I would like, for example, I have some anxiety, some stress in my body and whatever, and I really want to see how it is. And this is the research method. I try to see without trying to change, and this is a huge achievement if you make it. And actually, trying to get there is the method, is the procedure of research. Trying to just see this and not having this urgency to change, just to see things as they are. But of course with huge whatever quotation marks when I say, not quotation marks, just huge brackets when I say as they are, because epistemologically not clear.
Just I'd like to clarify, when you say your hopes for intersubjectivity zero, do you mean the possibilities for intersubjectivity?
No, I told
zero
that before.
Of the desire for intersubjectivity is zero.
Yes, exactly. Desire is zero. But okay. And of course, we try, the part of this method is we try also to bracket or, yes, put aside hopes for it. But of course, it's great if what I know, somehow I find somebody to resonate with. But...
Well, there's a whole other...
I'm not hoping for that.
I'm not addressing it, but yes.
Okay. Still science, we don't know or know. Oh, but what is this? Now, just the last point that addresses my quite a big project that I would just like you to know that it will exist in a couple of months. So what would be my answer why that might still be a source of science? One is that it's a thorough and systematic open-ended research. Open-ended. That's very important. And that's why I wouldn't agree with the examples from Buddhism, from different spiritual systems, because those are not all open-ended. Although Suzuki says in his Zen Mind Beginner's Mind, he says, if you try to achieve enlightenment, you are on the wrong way. So that would be open-endedness. But still, that the notion of where you should get is present. And I don't think... Well, I'm not going to go there. So this is open-ended, which is one of the basic characteristics of science. This is a pure research. This is and it should be, let's say, rigorous, systematic. But still, a big question mark. And the other stuff where intersubjectivity might pop out is community of researchers. And what? So, research results must not, as I said, must not be the validation point. We should not say, I discovered that this experience of I don't know what is consists of that and that, or this is a theory of it. So, and somebody, let's say, million people experience the same stuff, and then there is another person who doesn't. Is he or she wrong? In my point of view, he or she is not wrong. So intersubjective validation doesn't work in that way, at least. But what could join us is intent. I don't know, perhaps it's similar as you say in methodology, I don't know. But intent, what we want to research. And what we could do is share our research.
Sorry, what would be your intent?
Intent is
before
to...
Before you said the hope, you weren't hoping... Yeah. Subjectivity.
Yes. I'm not hoping for intersubjectivity in results. And perhaps that's also not intersubjectivity what I'm mentioning here, but what can be shared is the intent. So perhaps it's not science, it's sort of new culture of exploration.
But still my question, what's your hope? What's your intent?
You mean in this realm? What's the intent?
What's the intent
is to know as much from the existential point of view about consciousness, about my experience.
Your intent is the truth.
No, don't misquote me on that. It's to research experience.
Mm-hmm. As if understand what your intent is.
Is that not a valid intent? To research experience? Or
yes, it is.
That's true. Okay.
To know.
Yeah, the words aren't living to me. I
to understand experience.
Yes. Yeah. For me, neither as well. But I can feel them. I just am not expressing.
Well, I mean,
it well.
They did more to you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have put them up there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not over there. To understand experience.
I know.
You know, I might say to be conscious differently, but it's even worse in that way. Shared sense. You're right. Actually, it should be. But well, we should somehow we should see if there is.
It has to be like the intent is to be open to exploring. And
No. To be open to explore rigorously.
To explore rigorously, and to accept whatever shows up in that exploration.
Exactly. That's great. Yeah. Exactly. So, all the last part I was telling you, please, I just want to be, let's say, rigorous. I just want to notice that there are all these questions that might perhaps be unanswered. And that's one way of getting out. Probably very stupid way and not valid, but that's one way of not getting out, but just embracing that rigorous science of consciousness cannot be intersubjective. So, but let me just tell you what we actually devised with Jack and Matej 2 years ago when Jack was in Ljubljana visiting us. We said, why not form such a community? Community of people that do this research in many different ways. And they would post reports, and we would, if that is possible, inquire together in community. So I would, so not say in this sort, it doesn't, it would be edited, is that so? That's the word? Edited internet site, so you can't say, I don't agree with your research. No way. Just, you can just pose questions. How did you experience this? What was that? So this is originally, so, this is the last point I'm making here. We started working on it, and it's still very, I hope it's still at least a little bit alive, but then I was in this last, was it September, October, something like October, November, I was invited by this newspaper, Slovenian biggest daily newspaper. They have this Saturday supplement, and they invite known people, I don't know where they got me, to write diaries. For 4 weeks, you write your diary. I guess it's...
Diary,
sorry, not dairy. Your soy, or... So, I was writing my diary for 4 weeks, and of course I was mentioning that I am very much into this, I am really curious about experience and so on, and I was extreme amount of feedback, you know, like, wow, we would like to know, and not just by laymen. There was this neurologist, the most famous neurologist in Slovenia. I never got very much into neurological community, but yeah, that's exactly what's important, and so on. So I said, well, after third week, I was just in Austria, in Vienna, lecturing, and I said, I got this idea, why don't I use this mess? So I announced that I'm going to make a little site where everybody can publish their reports. In my last diary, I announced that. And of course, I got quite some reports, very different, of very different quality. And actually, my next part of this would be to try to negotiate with you or see, get some feedbacks about how those reports should look like. But I will just show you that. And now, I have a student in Vienna, also I'm teaching in Vienna, and I have this student who already is an AI expert. And he AI, not AI, internet programming expert, and he is his research work for me. He's doing this site, and it's almost done now. It's almost done. I'm not gonna go into details. It's just site. It's called U Experience. As again, Jack.
As in U.
Yes. Let me show this. I don't know if I can reach it from here. But so I wanted to make something as YouTube. So then Jack said, "Oh, either it be iTube or U Experience." And since I'm urban, I decided for U Experience. So
I would say iTube is more catchy though.
iTube, yes, but I'm actually also following. Following Jack's advice, I didn't want to go, not advice, but concerns. I didn't want to go too much into public stuff. The student of mine that is doing it, he's very much into it. He wants to say, join us, it's for free, and you know, this sort of stuff. That's definitely not what what I have in mind. But, no, I can't make it bigger. I think I'm just too nervous to, I'm not going to go into details. I wanted to present the details, how it's done. There are different possibilities, and what is lacking now still, but it will be included, is tags. And one of my hopes is that at some point I'll be able to do quantitative research. Not that it has anything to do with what I just said, this last part. But please understand that I'm really wanting to do all kinds of phenomenological research. This last part is just if I try to be true to all the problems. But of course, I really want to do research that pretends to be objective. So at one point, I guess if we get an enough mass of reports, we'll be able, via using tags, there are all these AI, I guess you know, techniques, how to, it's data mining, text mining stuff, we'll try to see the connections between different qualitative reports just by by checking their inner, you know, for example, I read this and then went to this, there is a little bit more, and so on. So that I, at least it's nothing else, I see it as a future database for some research, you know. But of course, now for the first, I will start. Now it's not working. You can see this is just a test stuff. Yes, and just blow. But for now, I will use it for my students. And if any of you wants to contribute, I would be totally happy. So we will. It's not gonna be edited for now, but I will just personally allow anybody, you know, to. So first, let's say 100. Entries will be at least to some measure phenomenologically correct. So no, not too much theorizing, not too much, you know, going just experience, just describing just experience. And then I hope we'll make a pyramid of editors, which will do nothing else but suggest the author that he or she should bracket presuppositions, ideas, theories, all the satellite stuff. I have so much wanted to go much more into this, but I think I pass all my tangible limits. So let's talk over lunch, I guess.